Thank Lisa Libby, who's on my sustainable and planning team for the mayor's office, Michael Armstrong, Susan Anderson, but especially the very great Derek Smith. Thank you for your great work. You deserve a round of applause. Now, before I vote, which means everything breaks up, are we doing signing or something? Or is that, yeah, right here or outside or where? Yeah, we got something else. Is it that sign we're signing? That thing. Okay. So on your.
I'll tell you, I have to leave at 4.
So yeah.
You might want to hurry up and decide.
We'll get you all out here by 7. But on your way out, if you would sign that, that's today. That's our marker to memorialize today and the commitments that we're making each other to realize the vision and the goals we set for ourselves as a community. So I'm very pleased to vote aye. So approved. Congratulations. Mayor, just this is. We'll do it in a minute.
Carla, could we just, before the signing, could you check with Commissioner Leonard to get his calendar for the next month? Because we certainly want to be able to accommodate his schedule as much as possible on these meetings.
I actually appreciate that very much. I'll shorten them up quite a bit if you'll do that.
Yeah.
You'll have pretty succinct meetings from now on.
You know, post your schedule. Maybe we can get you to the talk.
We're going to persevere through this. So we're just going to persevere while people mingle.
Like we do every council session.
Can you please read the title for council calendar item 1379?
Yes.
And Lisa, can you please move that out in the hall right now? Thanks. We'll get there. Please read the title.
Item 1379. Amend Again. Portland Transportation System
it's
Plan
like
and Comprehensive Plan to update the Gateway Master Street Plan and Chapter 11, Master Street Plans.
All right.
Let's just go ahead and vote. Let's just vote.
How many people have signed up to testify? Can you go get it? We'll take a pause.
Let's just vote. Skip all that.
I agree, but I think there are people that want to testify.
You're for that, aren't you, Amanda?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we don't need all that public testimony and all that. Just cut to the chase.
So if I could get, unfortunately, democracy has to continue. So if you could please exit, please
take it outside.
Please
yeah.
take these happy thoughts yeah. outside.
Yeah.
We have to deal with the land use issue.
Close, drink them up.
I just want to announce that I just learned that Commissioner Leonard has a 3:15 meeting with Commissioner McKeel. So I suggest we move this to the next week to accommodate
his. Is that what you're doing?
Either that or he's.
Well, you guys, I mean,
either that or he's.
We actually used to have council meetings.
Daughter's volleyball game.
We actually used to have council meetings that lasted an hour. I want to remind you, Sam. Are you really? I don't doubt it.
I got a few of those scheduled next year.
Yeah. Okay. I'll remember.
All right. Once again, if you're not here to testify on the Gateway Master Street Plan land use issue, please get out.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
All right. Carla, just for the record, can you reread Council Calendar Item 1379 and feel free to cut off Commissioner Leonard's mic?
Amend Portland Transportation System Plan and Comprehensive Plan to update the Gateway Master Street Plan and Chapter 11 Master Street Plans.
Who is, are you, why don't you please come up and begin the explanation of what we're looking at?
Hello, I'm Courtney Duke with the Office of Transportation, and I'm here with Justin Douglas. Got caught in the midst of, Justin? In the midst of all the people outside. We're doing an amendment to the Central Gateway Master Street Plan, which is a comprehensive plan and transportation system plan amendment. We developed it's again just part of the Central Gateway is the only part. We're changing one map, which is map 1111.3, and we're adding some text to Chapter 11 of the TSP. We developed this new master street plan with a stakeholder committee that included property owners, developers, and staff from a variety of bureaus over the last 2 years. Again, PBOT's been working with the PDC, as well as a consultant who's also here, Sumner Sharp from Parametrics. The purpose of the amendment of the TSP and the comprehensive plan is to provide some flexibility in connections while maintaining larger parcels for redevelopment. We tried to recognize existing parcel lines and buildings wherever possible. We wanted to try to provide additional connectivity on a local street network without altering the district or neighborhood collectors in the area. Part of the reason for this change is to help foster redevelopment in the city's only regional center. And also to help with implementation, we wanted to still provide flexibility to respond to development needs, but also provide bike and pedestrian access ways to be developed as full streets as appropriate. A little background on the Gateway area. It has been based on over 9 years of planning. We had a master street plan in 2002 that we knew that was going to be an interim plan. And then PDC started working on their opportunity gateway concept and redevelopment strategy, which was adopted by council in February of 2000. And then they started working on the Central Gateway redevelopment strategy in 2007. And one of the outcomes of that strategy was, one of those strategies was a vision for Central Gateway, which was to help resolve the street plan with the goal of increasing connectivity in the Central Gateway area. So as I mentioned, from the summer of 2007 to 2008, PDC and PBOT worked with our stakeholder committee to create this amendment. We had a planning commission hearing on July 14th, where the amendment was approved 5-0. We had testimony in favor from some of our stakeholder committee members, and there were a few folks who had some concerns about lines through their property. So we are here to present the Planning Commission recommendation, which I believe you have in front of you. We had a September 9th letter addressing that. And again, I'm here, Justin Douglas from PDC, if there's questions. And I believe there will be some additional testimony.
So if it's okay with council, if we could get the testimony completed and have discussion after that. All right, thank you. Carla, can you please read off the first three?
The first three are Bob Ernest, Jackie Putnam, and Gordon Jones.
After.
We'll do after. Preceded by Sue Kiel.
Now we'll do this. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Welcome to the City Council. Who's the third one?
Gordon Jones. Oh sorry.
Yeah. So it's, if you've not been here before, you only need to give us your first and last name. We do not want your address.
Good afternoon. My name is Jackie Putnam. I'm the co-chair of the Gateway Urban Renewal Program Advisory Committee. The PAC has long recognized and supported the development of a street grid for the Central Gateway URA for many years. The street definition has been a high priority in our vision and our goals and objectives. As co-chairs of the advisory committee, Bob and I have personally pursued outreach to many of the property owners. The objective has been to heighten awareness about the URA and the street connectivity and proposed grid, and always encourage and participation at the public meetings concerning the plan. This grid is supported by the PAC members.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Ernest. I'm the other co-chair of the Gateway Program Advisory Committee. I've been involved in this since approximately 1996. I've been chair, co-chair, served in several of the subcommittees, including design and development, the education committee, and I've enjoyed this a lot. And I can show you where I live on the map. My backyard actually adjoins the easternmost boundary of the urban renewal project. So this literally is in my backyard. So I have a keen interest in what's going on. As the co-chair, I wanted to draw your attention to the last two budget cycles that we have been involved in, beginning in January 2008, we had three priorities that we were emphasizing. Number one was local streets and infrastructure. Number two is park site selection. And number three, economic development and property acquisition. This was in 2008. Under local streets, which was our number one priority, The Gateway URA's most pressing current need is infrastructure, especially local streets. Park selection was number two, and we have a good outcome on that. We actually got our pocket park. Thank you very much. The former bingo site. We're waiting now for development. So that's coming. Economic development and property acquisition, that's an ongoing type situation. In February 2009, our current budget cycle, our number one priority is economic development, our number two priority, local streets and infrastructure, and number three, park site development. Now that we have it, let's get it developed. So there's a trend going on. The lack of infrastructure in our area is a huge problem for people, and we want to see that addressed. And we believe that the street plan as submitted will help address that. I also was digging through some of my archive material, and I found the Gateway Regional Center project summary from 1997. And at that time, they produced this really, a map. And one thing that it pointed out was we have no streets. We have we don't have connectivity north and south in some blocks. We don't have it east and west in other blocks. So this whole central gateway area was the area of focus for most people. So this is not a new subject, and we urge your approval.
Mr. Jones. My name is Gordon Jones. I've been developing out in the gateway area for a little over a dozen years now, developed a number of multifamily projects in the Gateway area and come before the commission several times to discuss those. I've also served on the Central Gateway Redevelopment Strategy Citizens Advisory Committee that took a long, hard look at the street grid plan that was adopted by the city as a placeholder some years ago. And then also after that committee was through with its work, we formed a street plan stakeholder advisory committee, and I've served on that and continue to do so. And what I think one of the main things you'll hear testimony about today is the old street plan that was what we considered kind of a stakeholders compared to the new street plan, which we've spent the last several years revisiting and trying to figure out the old street grid plan was very rigid. It didn't take into consideration reality on the ground where there were large existing developments such as the Kaiser Dental Clinic and other large parcels that needed to be addressed and not divided in half by a street, for example. The new street plan also has gone from just one rigid street width to a variety of streets that allow us to even put a pedestrian connection in lieu of a street in some cases where an actual street isn't needed but a connection is for pedestrians and bicycles. So the new street plan we really feel is much more flexible. It allows ped connections. It allows for, in fact, we're going to have our first pilot Green Street project out there. Yay. On 97th. So, and that's a whole other Gateway Green Street plan that has been worked on with the city. So we think that this new street plan is a vast improvement over the old grid, which was very inflexible and very rigid, and PDOT has really helped with this as well. So we advise, or I would, and it's been very helpful to me personally. I mean, just in the old street grid divided one large development site I had in half and just would have left little remnant properties where the street went. So by having a little more flexibility, we've been able to work with PDOT and others and come up with a development plan now that makes a lot more sense and still provides connection through. So I would recommend that we adopt the street plan as proposed.
Well, thank you all for your years of work on this task and for getting us here today. Really appreciate it. Next three, Carla.
Are Michael Pliska, Ken Pliska, and Brainerd Brower?
Mr. Pliskas, welcome to the City Council. Who is the third?
Mr. Brower, I believe is the last name.
Mr. Brower, please come forward. Welcome to the City Council. Please begin.
Thank you. Okay. I'll go first. Hi, my name is Michael Pliska. My family has owned some property for a number of years, for actually much longer than the kind of time periods they've discussed earlier here in that area. I pretty much grew up working around there. Now, I find it interesting that this plan is disrupting existing and planned commercial development in that area, parcels of land that are part of a plan there. And it's in a mature area of the city. So in a lot of cases, there's existing structures that are going to be disrupted by these streets going through, as well as planned development. All it's really doing is gaining, in some cases, a quarter mile or less than a quarter mile of connectivity when alternatives exist less than 500 feet away. I find it kind of interesting in a health-conscious city where we pride ourselves on being bicyclists and pedestrians, and being a lifelong bicyclist myself, is it really necessary to have connectivity every 500 feet? You know, in other words, walking or bicycling an extra 500 feet doesn't seem like that big of a deal. As an engineer that studied transportation issues for part of my career, I find it interesting that we would want to have cross streets either passing through or abutting the light rail line right there. We would increase considerably the number of crossings or abutments there, and I would be very concerned over the safety issues that that raises. Unlike my father and brother, who are lifelong residents of the city, I've moved out for quite a period of time and lived out. I'm back in the area now, but I've lived in different areas of the country and of the world. And one of the things I noticed about this plan was it's got some creative redrawing of streets. For instance, the bike and pedestrian path is just really to benefit one person's property who happens to be on that stakeholder committee, as was another one of the streets that takes a very interesting curve. That kind of creative redrawing that only benefits those members of the committee kind of reeks of backdoor politics and good old boy networks, the kind of thing that I saw in the south of the United States and in northern Italy. I had hoped that Portland had not deteriorated to that level, but looking at the evidence here, it seems like it has. I hope you prove that sentiment wrong with how you decide on this today.
What specifically do you object to?
The specific areas that I mentioned were the... bear with me a moment. Where 101st takes that rather interesting jog near Pacific, and then the bike and pedestrian path off of 97th and what appears to be Everett.
And then where is your property?
Our properties are getting cut apart, basically, where it goes between Burnside Street and Stark Street, this proposed 101st street that does not currently exist there.
And is that the second, for those of us looking at this map, is that the second street to the west of the yellow big street?
We don't have those colors on this map.
One block away from 102nd.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But I can. We don't have numbered streets identified.
Oh,
here,
okay.
So. Can I just following up the mayor's question? Can I ask you what meetings that have been held on this matter that you believe you have been prevented from attending and participating in?
Well, I've I had learned of a recent meeting. Which I was out of town and wasn't able to attend, but you were able to in June. But prior to that, we had not had any notification at all of the of any of these plans.
Okay.
My brother and father can talk more directly to that. But
you want to provide your testimony?
Absolutely, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to read, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. I'm here today not only to express my opposition to the amendments of this plan, but to call into question the way in which the original Gateway Plan was created, voted on, and implemented. It seems without proper notification to and input from many of the major property owners that are negatively affected by this plan, It is important that I point out that these are certainly negative impacts to our properties, not positive as claimed by the Gateway Plan. I'd like to point out several areas of concern. Number one, it would appear that the laws created under Measure 56 back in the late 90s were largely ignored when this plan was originally brought before the City Council. From small and medium parcel owners to the largest property owner in the plan district, which is Mall 205, this is the first any of us have heard of any of these street plans. Number two, the Planning Commission's condition to send this to City Council for today's vote was that the senior project manager, Justin Douglas, was to meet with and address the concerns of both PP&L and the Pliska family. Those concerns have yet to be addressed. I find it hard to believe that an email stating the trigger mechanism for street dedication was what they had in mind when they spelled out meet with and address concerns. PP&L has a valid security concern about North-South Street running in front of their secure building. It appears, like us, they were not informed of the Gateway Master Street Plan until this proposed revision came about this year. We are very concerned, as one of the proposed streets will render our southern parcel completely useless. Number three, the Gateway Stakeholder Committee is made up of 11 individuals. We find it very odd that 8 of those individuals are city employees, with 2 of the other 3 individuals being developers that will greatly benefit from the revised plan before you. A quick look at the revisions of streets that were to go through Ted Gilbert's parcels and Gordon Jones' parcels will shed light on the fact that those streets are now missing and reworked in this amendment. As my brother stated, this whole thing screams of backdoor deals and good old boy payoffs that we like to believe are not part of the way this city does business. PDOT's Bob Haley attended this summer's open house in the Gateway Plan. He claimed in no small way that he was in charge of where those streets would go and that he won't even let a carport be built on any property within the plan district without street dedications and improvements by the property owner. We see that Fred Meyer was granted many improvements under case file LU09124001DZM just this month, and no street dedications were even mentioned in the summary. PDOT's own admission was that it would be 30 to 40 years before this area was really developed. Number four, the proposed streets also go through Bob and Rose Schultz parcels between Southeast Ankeny and Southeast Pine. DEQ has deemed these parcels permanent brownfield after hundreds of thousands of dollars were used to try to clean the contamination on the parcels. When we questioned members of the Gateway Plan Committee, none of them were aware of these facts. DEQ has asked us to develop our southern parcel so they can be sure none of the brownfield contaminants are leaching onto our parcels. That is now impossible with the current street plan. Number five, in closing, this is my city. I was born here 43 years ago, and I plan to die here when I'm old and gray. I would hate to see yet another piece of council business get tangled up in court and settlements when some simple communication and well-thought-out postponement of this vote would make it work for all of us. Thank you.
Can you show us your southern parcel? If you wouldn't mind coming around here, and just so we see the nature of the reasons why you say it's not developable.
Southern parcel is right here, going from Ankeny to Pine. This is our northern parcel right here.
Mm-hmm.
On our southern parcel, we are 82 feet wide and then 79 feet wide. The street dedication would be 62 feet. We were told at the open house here, or at the open house meetings with the PDOT guy, Bob Haley, that we needed to get in first and try and develop first and get together with other property owners. That was, of course, before they realized, and I'm not sure if many of them still don't realize, that this is a brownfield that is right next to us. That this is all a DEQ brownfield. And DEQ spoke with us in our meeting in March and April and said, it's always going to be a brownfield.
Okay.
You have to dig down stories and stories and stories to keep it from being a brownfield.
Okay, thanks. Sir?
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Brainerd Brower. I've been born in Oregon City, lived here all my life. Probably to stay. I care about the region. I have an engineering background, but I also, about 1995, first purchased commercial property in Portland and have a direct interest in what happens. I like to see some positive things occur. I've been involved in this Gateway plan with PDC for at least 10 years, almost from the beginning. I've been aware of the property, largely the same parcels, but also the Schultz property. I'm actually the one who is largely responsible for getting some of the DEQ work underway through some brownfield money in the city and connecting some people and trying to see that move forward with the possibility of developing that property. My interest has been continues to be in developing this area. I think it has great potential. The street plan is something I've asked about many times, certainly through the early 2000s, and nobody has a real plan. There's always these guidelines on how streets should be built and in-the-box thinking about how to do it. And it's actually, I have to admit, encouraging that there's a little out-of-the-box thinking going on here, an attempt to realize that this is unbelievably difficult, this area. I mean, I've looked at aerial maps and how this all works and just try to think myself how one could do something. And there's a lot of existing properties and buildings, and this definitely takes some out-of-the-box thinking and some creative approaches that seem to be beginning here. But unfortunately, I don't know all the history. I've also stayed in the loop with getting notifications on what's going on, and maybe I missed something, but I didn't get any notification on this proposal. and I otherwise think I would have. So it's come as a surprise to me. But along the line of seeing some encouraging, at least steps out of the box thinking, that's positive. But I would encourage the council to delay this vote and take a look maybe more individually on the complexities. And I know it takes a lot of effort, and I don't know who should really do it. PDC has invested so many years, you know, into this whole gateway renewal, and some areas north have been, some progress has been made. This has been a roadblock from the early days. I looked through my file. It's a big file. It's always about roads and the streets, and but it's what do? We got this in-the-box thinking about how to do it, and we can't really go anywhere. So now there's a little bit of movement. The reasons may, the motivations may be worth reviewing on each individual area. Ideally, one should look at, okay, in this couple block area, why have we decided to do this? Who are the participants in that, and is there consensus? I think in this particular area that the Pliskas have been interested in, and myself, you know, with their property, but more the Schultz property and all, and the surrounding area, that area is just kind of getting lumped into here, and, oh, by the way, we're just going to throw a grid on here and destroy the properties. And I think that's not only unfair, but maybe lacking in consensus building.
So do you represent any of the...
I don't represent anyone but myself and my interests. I don't own any property okay. in the Gateway area. I own other parts of Portland.
Thank you. So. There's no vote today. This is the first reading. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla, anybody else?
Thank you. We have two more. Alan Pliska and Ted Gilbert.
Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for waiting. Mr. Pliska.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. My name is Alan Pliska, and you heard my two sons speak earlier, and they covered quite well topics that I overlooked. And but that's what happens when you age. So
the joy of having sons.
I'm sorry?
It's the joy of having sons.
It is. I'm sure a daughter would have been... I wasn't so endowed. Just perhaps I would. The concern that I have is the greatest. My greatest concern at this point is my son Ken alluded to our having met the fellow from PDOT, Bob Taylor, some name of that ilk. In which he was quite adamant about, you know, when the so-called trigger mechanism, at which point a dedication and street improvements would be required. And it's pretty spooky. Now, on the other hand, Justin Douglas has offered, he says, well, come on down and we'll talk about it when you have development plans. But I'm concerned about what's in writing. Justin wasn't here in 2004 when purportedly this street plan was approved first. And he may be off onto another project in the future. So I'm concerned about that. You know, I trust Justin implicitly, but I know what's in writing. That's before me right now. And that's not what it gives an awful lot of latitude to Department of Transportation with respect to at what point this level of commitment kicks in. And But it's in writing, and that's and what Justin tells me is not. And I understand his limitations.
So what did he? What did Justin say to you that's not in writing exactly?
Well, he did put some in writing.
Well, what is it that it sounds like you have a positive outlook on whatever Justin told you?
But it's signed by Justin, and it represents his.
Sure. What is it that he said that you thought was positive?
Oh, that I thought was positive. Well, I'm not very good at paraphrasing, but this was in response to my son Ken and I appeared before the Portland Planning Council, Planning Commission, and. And Planning Commission effectively mandated that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh. They approved subject to Justin getting in touch with and dealing with the concerns
right.
expressed by both
your
Pacific
son,
Corp.
Your son mentioned that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. At any point, Justin offered to, and has in a letter form, offered to meet with me, with us, and consider options that we, any way that he might help. And I appreciate this. But again, my reservation is that will he be here?
Okay. So there wasn't anything specific he offered to help as was requested by the Planning Commission, and he did that by letter?
He did.
Okay, and you said you didn't meet with him. Why haven't you met with him?
Oh, his proposal. He knows that we have nothing specific planned in terms of proposals at this time.
Okay.
But where our concern is, because we see this in black and white, and we've talked with Bob Taylor about his plans for making sure that the trigger mechanism occurs at a given level, although we haven't seen this, as my son Ken pointed out, in the case of Fred Maris alteration. It was a very large carport, effectively, under construction there. But so I guess overall, and I think I expressed concerns of other neighbors. It's not just my observation, but I think a lot of there are very few property owners in the area who are not aware of what's going on, and it's not easy communicating with them, particularly those out of town. I guess my time is.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. We gave you extra time to respond to my questions. Good afternoon.
Ted Gilbert, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I speak to you as a member of the Gateway PAC. Been a member for 12 years and also a property owner who's going to be affected by these changes. I speak in support of this plan. I can attest to the fact that probably 8 years ago or more, when the original plan that this would replace was put in place, it clearly was a placeholder that was done without regard of facts on the ground and likely development patterns. I think my colleagues did a nice job about expressing our support. What I'd like to speak to is just some of the objections I heard, and I made a couple of notes. One of the objections I heard was that this plan disrupts existing businesses. I would beg to differ that it's totally development-driven. We don't have the resources, even if we wanted to put in roads ourselves. It's only going to be significant development-driven, if and when it ever happens. I heard an issue about the importance of connectivity. I have a feeling about connectivity. I'm sure you all have your own thoughts, but in a regional center, if there's ever going to be a place you need it, I would think it would be there. I heard a comment about streets being adjusted based on the whims or desires of a particular couple of members. I would just, and I'm pleased to talk specifics if anyone would ask, but again, what this committee did is it looked at facts on the ground. And in one case, for example, it had a road going through the middle of a property that the Housing Authority of Portland recently purchased and probably has 25 to 30 years of life left in it. It's a nice property in great shape. So putting in improvements would be a road to nowhere for conceivably quite a long period of time. So it intended the property in question that was referred to still has a road going through it, except that road's now going to be shared by the Elks Lodge and some property that I happen to own rather than through the Housing Authority of Portland's. The question that we've heard a couple of times, both at the Planning Commission and here, is There wasn't outreach. There wasn't notification. I tend to take everybody at their word, but having been involved in this now, this particular process for 2 years, and knowing just how much outreach was done, it seems pretty unlikely to me, but again, I can't speak to that. And finally, a contention is made, and the name has been used as Bob Taylor. It's actually Bob Haley, who is in the back of the room right now. I have been in public meetings where Bob has specifically said it is not a minor improvement to a property that will trigger what we're talking about. A shed or something like that will not trigger it. It's only significant improvement, but perhaps Bob Haley could speak for himself in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Anyone else wish to testify?
We do have one more person, Dr. Jeffrey Brady.
Mr. Dr. Grady, please come forward. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you very much. My name is Dr. Jeffrey Brady, and I own some property in the Gateway New area, and the new road on 101st that they've proposed will cut my building in half. So the building's going to have to be torn down, and it's going to cut the property in half, too. There's two partials there. And also, the road on 101st, which is just a few feet away from the new proposed road, it's on 100th Street, is going to have to cut through PP&L, the electric company's power station, and part of their building. So those two little roads I'm totally objecting to. And also the two roads are going to cross the MAX train tracks. Now, it's going to create a problem with the MAX train tracks on there because the train stops right there. And the length of the train, I believe, is going to be maybe sticking out on that road that's going to cut my building in half on 101st. It might miss it by a few feet. I haven't measured the train, but I see it every day, and the train's pretty long, and I think where they're going to put the road through, it's supposed to be 67 feet wide, I've been told, and it's going to create a safety problem. And also, recently they changed the zoning on my property to high-density, like apartments and senior high-density apartments, and there's two new really nice developments on the corner of 102nd and Burnside. Right there on the corner, there's two new buildings with high density, and it's all really nice. And that's what I had planned for my property in the next few in the future. So I wanted to just say that the train's a problem. Safety-wise, it's going to cut my building in half. Those two roads are going to cut into PPL and electric problems. And that's what I had to say, so I object to it.
Thank you, Doctor, very much. Appreciate your testimony. If it's okay with council, what I'd like to do is to call staff up here. You can please step down.
Thank you.
Thank you. If staff could come forward and collect questions from council, if there are quick answers today. If not, then staff can report back to council with some more research, and we'll take the time we need over the next couple of weeks to get all the information that council needs. So please come up, both of you. And Bob, why don't you come up as well? Justin. So there are a variety of questions asked. From the original street map, which was, again, not done with anything on the ground incorporated into it. There's been a question raised about backdoor dealing, decisions made to the benefit of one or more of the stakeholders here. Would you
I would like to have Justin respond to that because he was in charge of our stakeholder groups and most of the outreach that happened.
Justin Douglas, Portland Development Commission staff. One of our criteria when we were looking to revise the street plan was to look, obviously, to look at connectivity and to also look at where there were near or medium-term redevelopment opportunities and to make sure that we were working with property owners who had expressed interest in redeveloping their property and finding some way that we could meet their needs, and so that the street plan dedications were not entirely borne on the backs of the local property owners and developers. This plan has been in effect since 2004, and we haven't had a single street built yet, so we were trying to take a fresh look at this and find out a way that if a developer had some sort of an idea and wanted to build and invest in Gateway, that we would find a way to make that street dedication as least onerous as possible. So, and that could be in the form of PDC direct contributions into improving the street. We've talked about forming local improvement districts so that those costs are shared among the community and not just by one party. So we really were trying to make this plan, besides it obviously being about connectivity, to be responsive to facts on the ground and to the realities of how difficult it is to dedicate property and to bear all that all those costs just by one party.
Is the objections, what was your last name again? Pilska. From the Pilska family, is the objection that what they're left with is not economically viable? I mean, that's basically what you're saying, right? That after you take account for the road, you don't have enough land left to build anything. Was that discussed as part of this effort?
Sure, we definitely discussed that. I mean, that's right by the 102nd and Burnside intersection. That's a major intersection. There's a MAX station there. So when the stakeholder committee discussed that, they recognized that there's a lot of places in Gateway where we just don't have public rights of way, and this is not an easy thing to do to build local streets. But we really thought that it was important that in the future, securing some connections and places where people could walk and cars could drive close to the MAX station would be very important. I've talked with the Pliskas many times in the past and have said many times that whatever we can do to try to make, you know, their dreams for their property when they do redevelop it, to work with them so that they can see their dreams realized. But again, it's a long-term plan, and it's at a key intersection, so we want to make sure that we guarantee that there's some connection there in the future.
And were they invited to be part of the discussions? You wrote them a letter after the Planning Commission. Some testimony from the family was that you didn't meet with them, but the father did talk about a letter was written. What's going on?
Mr. Pliska, Alan and I have had probably 20 conversations over the last couple of years. I didn't meet with them in person since Planning Commission, but Alan and I have spoken probably every day over the last week. I'm not sure if Planning Commission used the verb meet, meaning be in person, or I took that just to reach out to them and communicate to them and explain to them what the city code was that would trigger street plan dedications. And I worked with Bob Haley to get a sense of that. So I was trying to provide as much information as I could and make myself available and however I could help them.
So going back to the makeup of the advisory committee, it was mentioned that there are 11 people and 8 are city employees. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And how about the allegation that the citizens are those who are benefiting from this particular plant, that layout?
Well, we had a 6-member citizens advisory committee on the Central Gateway redevelopment strategy. And it was that group that really identified the need to revise the local street plan. And we asked all of those individuals if they wanted to be involved in the nitty-gritty of actually revising the street plan. We asked members of our URAC who wanted to be involved. And so those were the volunteers that stepped up. We met 8 times over the course of about a year and a half. Courtney and I worked to make sure that we met all the guidelines for mailings and notifications. And as to what happened back in 2004, that was before my time, so I can't speak to that. But we've done whatever we can to reach out as much as possible.
So the reason that there were only 3 citizens out of 11 was because that's who volunteered?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? And did the wider Urban Renewal Advisory Committee comment on this proposal?
Yes. We've briefed them multiple times over the past year. Those are all public meetings, of course, and Mr. Pliska has been in attendance at some of those. So we've briefed them on the street plan, and they've given it their blessing and support.
Did they vote on it?
They did.
And was it unanimous?
I don't recall if it was unanimous. I could check.
And how many people are on the wider advisory committee?
We've got 20 members, I believe.
And are those all citizens, or do they have staff on there as well?
Those are all citizens.
Okay. So if I could get some more details on before the vote as to who's on what committees, that would be helpful. And then going back to the question of the southern parcel of the Plisco property being only 80 feet wide, and then we were going to ask for 60 feet dedication. How would that work? With it,
can you handle that, Bob?
You couldn't.
I think Bob Haley with Office of Transportation. The Gateway Plan District specifically talks about one of the goals and the ways we're going to implement this plan is it really not only encourages, it almost requires consolidation of properties to put together a project that's big enough to actually pencil out paying for the improvements. I mean, there's plenty of properties I've dealt with over the years on this plan where the street, say, Everett is laid out, and one property owner comes in with a 50 by 100 foot lot. Clearly, we're not going to require a street, otherwise the city would be buying it because we'd be taking the entire property. So until such time as people can put together properties to make a project that work, this street plan will, in essence, probably hinder a certain type of development. Gateway is probably a long ways off just simply because of the economics of that area and land values haven't been high enough, and the return on for either leases or condo units hasn't been high enough to support it. So this really is something that's going to be probably quite a long ways out before we realize most of it.
So would that preclude them developing on either of their properties because they wouldn't, if just in and of themselves, they couldn't redevelop the northern parcel by itself without putting the street in?
It's really hard without a specific proposal in front of you. If you look at the zoning code, which is really where it starts from, it says that this street plan applies to all development within the Gateway Plan District. If you look on the definitions in the zoning code of development, technically it's turning a spoonful of soil. It's a change to a site. We try and apply the common sense, because the other nice thing about this, the section in the zoning code where it talks about who decides, it's the city engineer that decides the extent and the timing of the improvements. So we just simply work with people. If you have a building with good economic life left in it and you want to add on to it, we're not going to make you tear it down. For example, I think on the it was raised on the Fred Meyer site, why we didn't require streets when they came in. It was a remodel. There was no additional square footage. There was no real trigger for us to say, you need to start thinking about where these streets are going to go. They weren't doing anything that was going to block any future streets, but basically it was a very expensive interior upgrade with probably some signage that triggered the design review.
So before the vote, if I could get some more information on the specific property and the relative impact to both the northern and the southern parcel for the Pliskas, particularly if the adjacent property is a brownfield, it doesn't seem realistic to expect a property owner to take on a brownfield as well as have most of their own property taken for the street, because we've got some conflicting values here. Clearly, we need connectivity in a regional center, and you've done a really good job of saying where it should be. We also want to look after the particular property owners and make sure that we're not, as you said, disproportionately, and you said too, taking their entire value of their property. So if I could get some more information on that before the vote, I'd really appreciate it. Okay.
If I could, Mayor. I'm looking at the September 9th letter from President Hansen of the Planning Commission, their transmittal letter to us. And in the last paragraph, it talks about three property owners expressing concerns about street locations. It goes on to say that the Planning Commission's approving the recommendations with the condition that there be a continuing communication with the owners to address these concerns and anticipating that the final resolution may be required by City Council prior to us taking some kind of action. So I don't know exactly what that means, but
Maybe they left it up to us.
So I guess what I would like to know is two questions. One is, did the property owners have a full and fair opportunity to present the same concerns to the Planning Commission when the Planning Commission recommended? And second, is there anything about their concerns that goes to the heart of our action in adopting this, that you either recommend that we modify somehow this plan to address their concerns, or whether you believe they've had a fair hearing and you respectfully disagree with the relief they're seeking? I just need to know that before.
I think both Sue and I can answer some of that. The Pliskas testified at the Planning Commission hearing. One of the property owners just sent an email and chose not to come to the Planning Commission hearing. And another property owner wrote a letter to Justin and I that we forwarded to Planning Commission. And then that property owner also then contacted the directors of the Bureau of PDC and the PBOT. I always forget what we're called now, Office of Transportation. And then
Bureau of Transportation.
Bureau of Transportation. And then, as Justin mentioned, I think the response that we gave all three of those property owners at the time was the same, a phone call, an email, and a letter that described the, you know, addressed those concerns or addressed in the way we felt that we could address them at that time, put in some information from Bob Haley. And again, since then, there have been additional phone calls, as Justin mentioned, from property owners directly to him, and then other phone calls to management.
Well, I understand that Commissioner Leonard has to meet with a Yamhill County commissioner shortly, and
sure.
will be asking us to hold this over. But before he leaves us, could I just, if there's a live issue that you feel has not been fully resolved at the staff level,
and that's what Sue's
excuse me, between now and when we take a vote, I would appreciate just being briefed issue.
Are you talking amongst each other? The family? I mean, you work together. You have joint ownership of this property. Okay, so when you said, one of you said, if I could, one of you said you hadn't had any follow-up from Justin, but then your father gets up and reads a letter from Justin that confuses us.
What I said in my testimony was I didn't feel an email with this little jot down was proper response to what the planning commission had said and had tied to.
Okay. All right. Other.
Me.
Anything you want to say?
Yes,
to
actually,
clarify?
I mean, this is in response to Commissioner Fish, probably more directly. I would recommend an amendment to the proposed plan that came to you from the Planning Commission that is responsive to some of these concerns, and particularly the removal of 100th Avenue between Burnside and Ankeny. It is a fully developed site there. There are 125 jobs on that site. This is the Pacific Power property. It's fully built out. It's a long-term utility use. It's difficult to remove and resite this. Secondly, we can, in the outside chance that any redevelopment were to occur, we could amend again the street plan. Remember that this, what you have in front of you, is a long-term conceptual plan. And when redevelopment occurs, they can come in and talk again about changing that street grid or other variations that might be required. So there still is the connectivity. I mean, the grid is still going to function if you remove that 101st between Burnside and Ankeny Street, because you have 99th and 101st that go through in the portion between Stark and Burnside. You have 99th and 100 that go through in the Burnside to Gleason.
Can I make that motion, or do you want to keep explaining?
No, feel free.
I'd move to accept that.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion from council?
Do we need to vote on that today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone wish to testify on this issue? Come forward.
As I've stated, my name is Brainerd Brower, and as I've stated previously, you know, I've been in this area a long time and certainly have been looking at development in that area and quite familiar with this utility facility, and obviously it would be very difficult to move, and that's all. But I think the fact that you see this plan in front of you and there is a proposed street that would intersect that goes much farther to point out that this particular part of the Gateway Renewal area has not been reviewed very thoroughly. That the kind of input from the various parties for that may have occurred very diligently in some of these street plans did not occur in this particular area. And the fact that this has been overlooked till now just goes to reinforce that in a very solid way. I just encourage that there be a much more in-depth look at the difficulties here, not just for this, but also for what would be then, you know, property I've been focusing on, and the Pliskas and
the Pliskas property you've been focused on.
The Schultz's property.
But you're just here on your own volition.
Because I'm interested in that area for development. I'm interested in developing it.
And which was the other property other than the Pliskus property? And where is that?
The neighboring property, the Schultz property.
And that?
Which is the Brownfield designated property now.
And is that south of, is that the same street south of Ankeny? I'm forgetting again.
It is. Yeah. It is south of Ankeny.
It's so I guess there would south
101st, and so there'd be 99th, 100th, and then that would be the 101st. So I think you're talking right now about, you know, would be the 100th, which intersect the utility.
But what the amendment is just to take it off north of Ankeny, but not south of Ankeny. Is that correct?
Correct. And right, and crossing over Burnside is a very difficult thing to do anyway. So here you're saying, okay, well, we didn't look at this area that thoroughly. Let's just go ahead and take this one off. And I'm saying, why don't we take a look more carefully at that whole difficult, you know, few block area and look for more input from the property owners.
To be clear on my motion, I had this briefing 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This is not something anybody here should have heard today if you went through the briefings I went through.
Right.
This has been thoroughly explained and considered and balanced.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, please come forward. Speak to the motion.
Ken Pliska, once again, I guess my concern would be if you take out the proposed street between Burnside and Ankeny that would have bisected the PP&L building, then that puts even more emphasis on you needing the street through the Pliska property.
There are...
And the Dr. Brady property.
There are a variety of... it is my understanding that likely... there are a variety of federal laws that would trump our plans for a street through this kind of facility.
Right.
So this is a little bit different. We don't have the kind of discretion on this that it might appear.
Right. Fully understood. But the on this particular street plan, and one thing that, you know, we didn't have time in the 3 minutes of testimony to actually point out, but if you look as far south as between Stark and Washington, you'll see the current 100th Avenue, and the current 100th Avenue is about halfway between 99th and 102nd. And nothing was going to connect with that on either of these street plans. Well, I take that back. On the 2004 street plan that we've now been reviewing, it looks like there was going to be something there. But now it's just going to be a stub there. I mean, and with the brownfield issues and everything else going on, it would be...
So you need to speak to the motion only. And I think you've spoken.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Well said. Anybody else wish to speak to the motion? All right. Please call the roll on the motion.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm going to support this motion and vote aye, and that doesn't mean that I'm not going to continue to ask about the piece south of that. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. I think we've had an airing out of the major issues. Those that we have not heard a reply back from staff, we will get one in the intervening time. I would like the entire family to sit down with the entire staff group between now and when we get back together to look to exhaust any creative alternatives. If there's support on council for that. But having said that, we expect you to be creative as well. All right. With that, we stand recess till tomorrow at 2 p.m. That's